This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Evan Giddings, Dan DeVoe, Cam Williams, Steve Rizzotto, rocking with you for 3 hours before the Warriors take on the Houston Rockets tonight at 5 o'clock. Warriors live at 4 with yours truly. Got you for postgame as well in between Tim Roy. What?
Forgot to get water during the break.
Well, you can go do it right now. I'll vamp for a little bit.
That's right.
Well,
Where's Reardon? Get in here.
Well, we do have to talk about...
Always take advantage of the Reardon guy.
Your boy.
Who?
Well, Baron Davis.
Oh, yeah.
So, Draymond Green and the Draymond Green podcast.
Baron Bong Davis.
Appropriately named. Has a brand new co-host this year. And, actually, I don't think we have any Draymond sound. But, at least from the podcast. But, B. Diddy's on, or sometimes he's also not on. I feel like I haven't really heard him much in all the clips that they cut. And so, I'm not really sure when he's on the podcast and when he's not. And how often they're recording.
I want to say he's there every time.
Okay, so yeah. Baron Davis, local legend, Warriors favorite, we believe star.
UCLA Bruin.
Smokes a lot of weed. That's kind of my big takeaway from Baron Davis through the first umpteen episodes that he's done with Draymond. He's awesome, by the way. I don't want this to come across like I don't like Baron Davis.
No.
He's a perfect co-host. I'm just assuming it's if and when you can get him on.
And it's sort of an unusual pairing with the two. Because he is just... So I was listening the other day, and they're somehow talking about Detroit, because obviously that's where Draymond's from. And they're talking about the hotels that they would stay at when they're playing the Pistons. And he goes on a tangent, and I don't know what it was he was smoking that day, but he's just got this... He's got this permanent little grin, and even Draymond's like, whoa, where are we going? He's like, you remember Eddie Robinson? You remember E-Rob? And he goes in the story how E-Rob got this van, this tricked out van that he invested in. And he said that this thing had the bucket seats, you know, the rims. It was fully loaded. And so you got it. Only he, I can't do it justice. Only he can tell a story. And he's like, so I was in Detroit. And I said to him, I said, E-Rob, man, let me get that. I'm going to go get some food. And Eddie Robinson said, yeah, sure, go ahead. You can use the van, but it doesn't turn left. So
you can only make right turns in this van?
So Eddie, oh, my God. So Baron Davis is telling the story, and he's stoned, I think, of how he's trying to get someplace that's less than a half a mile away, and he's making all these right-hand turns. He's like, he wouldn't. He's just laughing and talking about it. He's rolling this big van that can't go left. And Draymond's just like, I don't know who put us together.
But. Dude, first of all, he's a funny guy. He also knows what he's doing. I remember Baron Davis had this run of appearances on the Dan Le Batard show when it was on ESPN. And I was a loyal listener back in the day. And he basically had this bit. So anybody who knows the Le Batard show knows they have this, you know, cast of characters, right? And one of the characters or producers, his name's Roy. He's the only black guy. And so they had this running bit that Baron Davis would not answer questions from any of the white or Cuban guys.
Well, there's one Cuban guy.
Or any of the, I think others. But he would only answer questions from Roy. But Roy doesn't speak. Like, Roy is, anybody who watches the show knows that Roy is very soft-spoken, doesn't really like to talk that much.
Thin guy.
Kind yeah, of. He's also the biggest hockey fan among the show members. And so Dan would ask Baron Davis a question, and he would give him like a two-word response. Then Stu Gotts would ask a question, and he'd give him a two-word response. And then Roy would ask the same question, and Baron Davis would go on this two-minute, you know, very thoughtful, eloquent answer about whatever Roy asked him. And so basically it just became this running bit that Dan would have to ask the question, then have to ask Roy to ask the question.
Well, that's hilarious.
It was really funny. I love Baron Davis. I think he's a great addition to the podcast. Also because, to your point, he keeps Draymond Green honest and also on his toes, because you don't know where Baron Davis is going to go with any conversation. But as it relates to the Golden State Warriors, the other player that we were talking about during the break, who I love his demeanor, not because he smokes weed or can't make a left turn, but it's Lindy Waters III. This dude...
He's your guy. You were on him before
anybody else. I love Lindy. Yeah. I have loved Lindy for a while, and it's probably because he was a member of the OKC development system, and it feels like every guy they put out is going to be a dude. But... Look, he had his breakout game on Tuesday, got put in the starting lineup on Wednesday, and it's probably back to the bench tonight with Wiggins coming back, or probable to come back, but he's going to help this basketball team. He could play.
Well, now they're 13 deep.
Kerr literally said that.
But fill it in, the backstory on this guy, because it's really sort of fascinating.
So Lindy Waters III was, he was a good college player. He played at Oklahoma State,
yeah.
Right? So He's originally a member of the Kiowa tribe, and I'm not sure, I don't know if he's exactly from the reservation, but he has tribal membership. And so he's one of the very few Native Americans to ever play in the league, which was one.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
The reasons why I noted him, because my mom's Native American, so anytime there's an association, I just want to learn more about these guys. So he played at Oklahoma State, and then after his last season is when I think the pandemic hit. So Lindy Waters was literally playing, before he got picked up by the G League in Oklahoma City, he was playing in like this midnight league. Like he was playing against you and I, just to stay in shape, to get some run. He was door dashing in his meantime to make ends meet. And he did this for like an extended period of time. It wasn't just a month or two. Like he played in this midnight league and just worked on his game, hoping for a shot, got a crack and a tryout with OKC's G League team. Classic story of, oh, well, I'm going to this tryout. I might as well just shoot the hell and, you know, leave it all out there. Got a contract from the OKC G League team, developed, worked his way up to his point where three seasons ago, I think he was like a 24-year-old rookie, and still didn't get much burn on OKC. The only reason they dropped him is because they have so many guys on the roster that they needed spots for. And Steve Kerr, I think, had extended conversations with Mark Dagenau, who's the head coach with OKC. And he's been trying to sort of implement, you heard him last year talking, he was fawning over how OKC plays offense, getting shots up, taking threes, you know, basically playing the modern game. And so Lindy Waters III was available, and the Warriors picked him up. And immediately it was like, this guy's got a chance to play, and he's pretty good. And he had a really good preseason, had that game winner in Hawaii against the Clippers, shot it really well. And so I'm just glad that someone like that, who literally went from door dashing 4 years ago to now being a rotational piece in the NBA, has a chance to flourish, because there's not many guys that get that opportunity.
He looks like a player, seriously. He just has got a way about him. And his temperament is so conducive to winning basketball. That guy is just keeps his head down. And he's a player. He is an absolute... Look, it's early, right? But he just is... When he went off the other night, they were all good looks. And he defers. He doesn't take bad shots. I think Reggie Miller sort of highlighted him getting back, missed a three in the corner, and then hustled back to get the rebound on the other end as they had a leak out and like a two-on-one break the other way, did New Orleans. I'm big on that guy. And now that now that you filled me in on what it is that he's been through, how can you not pull for him? You get guys like that, the GP2 stories, guys who are just survivors in this league. I know at the end of the day, Giannis might make your team better, and the big free agents, the Butlers, and all of these big names, the Markkanens of the world, the Paul Georges. I don't know. Give me five of those dudes.
If Lenny Waters III is starting for your team for an extended period of time, I do have my concerns. But
he shouldn't be starting.
No, but I'm rooting for him because it also, like, I think he knows how to play. He can make the pass when he needs to. He's always been a good shooter. He's got the quote of the year so far by saying, "I keep a strap on me." Yeah. When someone asked him, how does he keep his shot so hot? And also, again, like he's not a perfect player, but like he's 6'6". You know, he's long enough that he can keep a guy in front of him. He's tall enough that he can rebound. And he can help you for 10 to 15 minutes a game if you need, or apparently step in and be a starter and help you beat a depleted Pelicans team. You know, it remains to be seen how many of these guys have staying power over an extended period. And that's why I do think that this road trip, I think we can really take a lot from. Like when you and I speak next week on Saturday, we will have a Houston game, a Boston game, and a Cleveland game to really dig into.
Yeah.
Assuming they take care of Washington. Yeah.
Text line is saying Lindy is like a Doug Christie with a 3-point shot. Doug Christie, a fine basketball player. I like the comparison. Doug Christie, shout out Pepperdine, but I hope not. Doug Christie was a whack job, and his wife was a whack job. So we do not want Lindy to be anything like Doug Christie off the court.
Doug Christie made 4 all defensive teams.
He's a good player. I'm just telling you, he was a little cuckoo.
Well,
and his wife was just...
We need a little cuckoo.
Not in a good way. Again,
okay.
The reason why I like Lindy is the guy is so even keel. Again, we're just getting to learn who he is, but there's something about guys like that. You know, you did a remarkable job, Atlanta. Were you reading the book on the guy, right? Or were you reading something about the tribe?
There's a book that, understandably, like the Kiowa tribe's not very big, and there's not a lot of... I think there's only like 20 or 30 people in the world left that speak like the native language. So it's kind of a dwindling tribe. Mm. But the most famous tribal member outside of course, Lindy Waters III, was this, the author whose name escapes me. But anyways, he wrote a Pulitzer Prize winning book back in the 60s.
What about Sonny Six Killer?
Excuse me?
Who was the most famous Indian athlete?
And Scott Momade, the author of the book, okay. By the way. The most famous...
Native American.
Well, probably Otis Thorpe.
Oh, that's the guy.
Yeah, the...
Not Otis Thorpe. Is it Otis Thorpe? No.
Jim Thorpe, sorry.
Otis Thorpe. Center for the Sacramento Kings.
Jim Thorpe, sorry. Jim yeah, Thorpe. The he was like a decathlon gold medalist. Also a Hall of Fame running back, Otis Thorpe. Yeah, Jim Thorpe. God, I was just talking about him yesterday. I can't believe I butchered that. All right, help us get us back on track. Austin from San Jose. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone. Austin, one of our favorites. What's going on, my man? How are you doing here on Saturday?
Hey, happy Saturday, Dan and Evan. Listen, Waters, man, what a revelation. I like the story and you were just going through, Evan. That's really great to share that. But the guy is a shooter, man. I think he's probably I would rate Steph, Buddy Hield, and Waters is the three best shooters on the team. Just pure shooters. I don't know about his defense. I don't know about all that. But in terms of pure shooting, I think he's the third guy. And I do believe he's got to get more time. I don't care about pecking order and who's been around for 3 years and all that nonsense. Let's put the guy on the court that can score. And I think there's going to be games where you're going to need Waters. I think he's a decent defender, too. He's long. Clay was 6'7". I think he's 6'6". So, yeah, I like the measurable. So, yeah, watch out for that. Listen, the other thing I want to chime in, I'm not going overboard with this start. I know it's 4-1, but I got to look at who they played. I do want to see adversity. Everybody's kumbayaing now, and I know that's great, and everybody's excited. They get along. I honestly, I'm more cynical. I don't care as much about that stuff as most people. I just care about them winning, and I know teams that didn't get along or didn't care about each other, but they won. So I'll be interested to see how they do. And then my last thing, I know I'm going to turn some people off, and they're going to come at me, but Pazinski, man, I love the guy. He's a great, good player, but I think Kerr plays him a little bit too much for me. I think he tends to get over his skis on a lot of plays. I saw him the other night kind of trying to work the refs, and he's trying to turn into Draymond Green. I mean, listen, dude, just play basketball. I think he's a little overexposed right now for me, but hey, I like what I see, man. Let's see where we go. Let's figure out where we're at after 20 games, though. Let's not get crazy over 4-1. All right, guys, thanks. I'll keep listening.
Thanks, Austin. Well, I think...
You remember that play? I know exactly what Austin's talking about.
Yeah.
And Steve Kerr said that. He's like, no, I'm not reviewing that, bro. Just play. Shut up and play.
Pajemski complains from the bench. That's how I'd put that. Like, it's not just in games. Like, he's the first guy off the bench who's complaining about calls. But I will say that Pods is, especially the last two games, and maybe tonight, probably against Houston, he has to play the Curry minutes. Because I don't really know who else is going to be on the ball as much as he is outside of Draymond off the bench. I think Anderson can handle the ball, but you need Pods to effectively be your point guard. So I think Austin's right. He's probably playing too much, but that's because Curry's out.
I used to think that, and Austin, you know, we take his calls and I'd be right there with him. Like, why is this guy so privileged? Why does he jump to the front of the line? Moody's been looking for that sort of run since he got here.
But they play different positions.
They do, but in terms of getting an opportunity to play, Pajemski is just, I think he's jumped the line a little bit in front of, you know, other guys in getting an opportunity to play and play a lot. But then I watched him over the last two games. He's a hell of a player. Like, I think, Austin, if you're still listening, you can't deny the fact that this guy makes the little plays and his rebounding and just getting on the floor. He is such a good basketball player, and he is such like that of a Caruso. He's such a guy coveted by Steve Kerr. I think Steve Kerr looks at guys like that and said, "That's give me 10 of those guys, and I'll get us another ring."
Well, I don't know if he'll say he can get you another ring.
Well, I'm being facetious.
But I think he'll tell you, I can win a lot of basketball games with those players. Like,
he's really, really, really good. And it's not his shooting, his scoring. It's all the other little intangibles that this guy provides.
And, he might have got an opportunity earlier than most. And I think a lot of it was due to need. It was due to necessity. But, and people might not like this, but if you put a gun to Kerr's head and you said, you want 10 JKs, you want 10 Pajemskis,
yeah.
I don't think he hesitates. He says, give me 10 Pods.
Which is why he's probably more willing to trade a Jonathan Kuminga as opposed to a Pajemski.
Yeah, and Kuminga is probably infinitely more talented than Pajemski is. But when you watch him play, yeah, like, don't get me wrong, there's some plays, like, Pods is frustrating from the standpoint of, I feel like he passes up the shots that you expect him to take, and then he takes the shots that you don't expect him. But all the other things that he does, he can play with anybody 1 through 15. I can't say the same about Kuminga, and I even don't know if I can say the same about Moody. I really like Moses Moody, but I don't know if Moody can play with everybody. Pods can play with anyone, and he's not a perfect player by any means, but there's not a ton of those guys, I think, in the league that you can just plug and play in any rotation. They can play any spot. You know, maybe they get blown by a couple times. They'll turn the ball over. They'll make young rookie mistakes. But Pods is... I think there's a... Every team in the NBA would take a Brandon Pajemski.
He makes winning plays. You win with guys like that. He is, I think, he's a significant and a key part to what it is that the Golden State Warriors are trying to do. When does he get rid of that mask, by the way? Things gotta go.
When does he get rid of that hair?
I like the hair.
Why?
Yeah, it's got a little personality to it.
Well,
a little flop going on there.
Well, he does do that. Well, the mask is something that I think it's just, you know, protocol. Like, he needs it because he broke his nose.
Well, he hates it.
You can tell he don't like it.
Man, I can't stand. He's got to wear it, though. That thing.
That's probably why he's out there shooting till, you know, 1 a.m, because he's got to figure out how to make a jump shot with this mask on. He finally did make a few threes.
Whoever it is, the doctors or whomever it is that said...
Celebrini
said, you need to wear this thing. And it's a good call, because if he didn't have that mask on for the last week, he would have rebroke that thing like 5 different times. He does not care. He's still running into dudes at 100 miles an hour.
Well, I wonder how much the mask actually helps. I'm sure it does. It provides some protection. But yeah, Pods is going to battering ram his way into, who they play tonight, Houston? Jabari Smith? Yeah, he's going to break that thing again.
Who had the hockey mask? Was that Jason?
What?
In Halloween?
Yeah, Jason. Friday the 13th.
Okay.
Well, you want to get a hockey mask for Pods?
No, I'm just thinking of mask and scary characters when it came to Halloween, and Jason used to scare the hell out of me. Do you remember the Blair Witch Project?
Yes.
God, that was kept me up nights. And some people, like, that was the stupidest thing in the world. That bothered me.
The scariest movie I think I ever saw. God.
Sorry.
No, this. While we're quickly on the subject, we got a couple minutes left here. The Babadook. You ever seen The Babadook?
No.
Okay, it's an Australian horror film about this mother who found any horror movie with children in it, I'm out. I'm sorry. I can't do the kids who are, you know, that get just possessed. Consumed by a demon, that get possessed. I can't do it. So this kid gets possessed by The Babadook, which is the name of a book. It's a children's book. You open it, infects your child. And so this woman, there's something also about international films, like foreign films that are horror films. Those are far more scary than any American film. You go watch the ones in Japan.
Japan is cornered the market there.
Can't get through any
of them. What's the one where you'd watch the videotape?
Oh, that was The Ring.
The Ring, yeah.
But the American version is not as scary as the Japanese version, which is the original. And The Babadook, anyways, possesses this child, and just all of it was, just gives me chills. I hate it. Anyways, I had to watch it in college for like some film study class. We were studying horror films.
I did it.
There's an art to it.
Film study class, which I thought somebody convinced me this is going to be a 4-unit A, was the most difficult class I ever had to take. I had to study Pajemski? No, Pademkin. I think that's the Russian director's name. The Pademkin Steps. I'm like, oh God, what am I looking at here?
They didn't put you on Stanley Kubrick or something?
Oh, you know what I had to like, you know what the movie that I had to break down literally for an entire semester was Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
And it just like every facet of that movie. What's the last line at the end of Citizen Kane?
I don't know. It's overrated.
What's the last line? Somebody tell me. It's
my mom would shoot me for saying that, but
Rosebud. Rosebud.
Could have fooled me.
Rosebud. And the meaning with Rosebud is that it's the name of his sled. It's the last thing he says. Rosebud. It was his sled, which took him back to a much happier time, and the only time in his life they had this level of happiness and pure joy through this turbulent life. So for those of you that are going to rent Citizen Kane.
Well, you just spoiled the end. And the movie that I think I'd rather spend more time dissecting, because we had to do it for 2 weeks, Rambo First Blood.
Come on.
Dude, I'm telling
Speaking
you.
Speaking of hair.
It is one of the more, I would say...
No, bro.
Interesting Stallone films. No, I'm telling you. First of all, it's one of the few movies, one of the first movies that really digs into, at least that was popularized, that really digs into...
Vietnam War?
No, PTSD, bro. The first one, and maybe it's not First Blood, the very first Rambo, when he comes back from war, and he's like this kind of nomadic hitchhiker, and he's in this small Colorado town, and then they end up having to send the National Guard to try and take him out, but he's suffering from PTSD. The final scene where he finally breaks down and just emotionally is wrecked and just tells and spills his guts about all these different terrible things he's done across overseas, that is acting.
It's Stallone at the end of the day.
Yeah, but that's why he wrote the whole thing. By the way, people, do not get me on my my soapbox for Stallone. I love that guy. On the other side, we'll get back into another emotional
Rocky
wreck.
After Rocky 1, he didn't do anything.
What are you talking about? First of all, do not besmirch Rocky 1.
No, after Rocky 1, he didn't do anything.
He did several things, including Rambo.
I'm not giving you Rambo.
Yes, he did. And we'll get into another emotional wreck, Draymond Green. On the other side, that was a cheap shot.
I want to talk about Houston.
We could do that.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it's very interesting to compare the two situations between Houston and Golden
State. I'm talking about Angelica Houston, the actor.
Let's just go to break. Warriors This Week, we'll be back after this on 95.7 The Game.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.